And Lions will be in next week. I do want to let you know a couple of things. The Dance Palace Holiday Craft Fair is back. After a two-year hiatus, the holiday tradition is back with local crafts, food, fun, and merriment for all. Beginning Friday, December 2nd at 4 p.m. and running through Sunday, December 4th at 4 p.m., KWMR will have a presence there with Loretta Farley. The San Geronimo Valley Community Center is hosting two meetings to get community input on the feasibility of a proposed performing arts center on the Lagunitas School campus. The first meeting is Wednesday, November 30th. Oops, although that's coming up still. From 6:30 until 8 p.m. and the second meeting will be on Thursday, January 12th. And a reminder, folks, they're still doing COVID test distribution in West Marin at the Tomales Town Hall on Thursdays from 2 to 3, Bolinas Community Center Thursdays from 11 to 1 and upon request, at the Inverness Firehouse Monday through Friday, 9 to 4, call to make an appointment, call 415-669-7151, at West Marin Community Services on Mondays and Fridays from 11 a.m. until noon, and at the San Geronimo Commons, former site of the golf course, from Thursdays from 11 to 2. If you've tested positive, they ask you to not come down to the test distribution sites until 5 to 10 days afterwards. It is time here for Epicenter on KWMR. Please stay tuned. This is Epicenter on KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. You can hear Epicenter at 5 p.m. on KWMR or listen to recent archives at kwmr.org. Today, I'm your host. I'm Amanda Eichstead, and I have two guests today, the first of which is Jason Balderrama, Chief Information Security Officer at the County of Marin. Jason, welcome to the KWMR airwaves.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, it's kind of timely since it's Cyber Monday.
Indeed, it is. A lot of people out, I'm sure, doing their holiday shopping, whether in person or in most cases from home these days, too.
Yeah, it's kind of convenient to shop online, but I was reading through your online shopping tips, and there are some good ones. So I suggest we run right through this unless you have anything prior to these tips that you want to lay on us here on KWMR.
Sure, I'll gladly walk through some of them, and maybe I'll just pause in case you have questions in between. But yes, we do have our shopping tips for the season, which is part of our Marin CyberSafe News newsletter that's available to all. First thing I want to mention is, number one being think before you click. Oftentimes, we see that email is still the number one threat as far as cybersecurity is concerned, people sending phishing attacks. So around the holiday season, we do see an increase in things such as people wanting you to supposedly shop for some great deals, or maybe send you a shipping notification that's supposedly from like FedEx. But you have to be very careful with these kinds of emails because the scammers make them look real, but then if you click on it, you might get infected or you might be tricked into giving up your username and password. So just
had an email on Saturday that came in, or maybe it was a text. I can't remember, but it came in and it was saying that my Venmo account had been compromised and that I needed to click on this link. But before I did anything, I looked at the email that it was coming from, and it was very weird looking. It just didn't look like anything that would have come from a legitimate place. And then, just shortly after that, I was able to use my Venmo account to make a purchase, and it worked just fine. So I think there, and I've also seen some from allegedly coming from Wells Fargo that really weren't from Wells Fargo. So people should really check before they get concerned and click on things.
Yeah, definitely. Always check that sender address. Make sure it's coming from the organization you expect. Look closely at links and where they're actually taking you if you're being directed to their website. And what you described is exactly right, where, rather than clicking on a link, just go into the website like you normally would to check status, or look up their phone number from their website and call them to verify if it's something that they actually sent. There's ways that you can, without jumping to conclusions and clicking, take steps to protect yourself there.
I thought one of the interesting ones here, Jason, was this use of public Wi-Fi for activities such as shopping. And this is something that I wasn't really fully aware of. I mean, I've sort of heard about this public Wi-Fi networks, you know, where you don't need a, those are the ones where you don't need a password at all, correct? You can just get on.
Sometimes they're just open, and when you connect, then you're presented with a page that says, like, click here to accept the terms of this. Other times you might be at a like a small business where they've maybe taped up the password on the wall so you can connect that way. But really, it's talking about, any network that you don't have control over yourself that or that can be trusted. So obviously, when you're at home, you have your home internet and your own router, something that you do. And then if you're using like a smartphone, if you're on your carrier's mobile network, those are networks you can trust, but you never know who's going to be on the same network with you, like those open ones with no password, who might be trying to sniff at what you're doing and then steal again, like your username password to use your accounts. So yeah, definitely need to be wary of using those untrusted networks.
And I thought this was interesting. I know at KWMR, we had to go through a whole process of getting our site to be HTTPS rather than just HTTP in order for it to be more secure. And it warned was warning people before we had it all set up that they were going to an potentially unsafe site. So what is the difference between that HTTP and HTTPS, Jason?
Yeah, so HTTP, it's just the actions you take on an HTTP site are can be seen by anyone who's on the same network. It's kind of we talk about if things are in clear text, like basically you can read it readily. HTTPS is a layer of encryption. So if someone tries to view your activity or sniff that session, all they see is a bunch of gobbledygook because basically it's obfuscating the actual transactions there, which is very important specifically when you're doing things like logging onto your account or making a purchase. Those transactions require that extra security because otherwise, like if you did a credit card transaction and you're connected through HTTP, if someone is there and able to monitor that, they'll see you plugging your credit card number in directly. There's nothing hidden from their view.
Got it. Well, that's really good to know. And then obviously you want to choose trusted online retailers. I know that on social media there's all kinds of different companies selling stuff for super cheap, and you may not ever even get those items. And if something looks attractive, what I found to be the first step is to look at the comments if they are allowing them, and you will see pretty much on most of these sites that the scams are in the comments. They say that they've been scammed.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, there's obviously the big retailers that you most of the time would trust. But then yeah, the smaller ones you might look to save a few bucks, but it may not be worth it. Like you said, you may not get your item, or they may still take your payment and you don't get your item. So as it says in the newsletter, resellerratings.com is a great resource to check some of that feedback on these other online retailers and give you a sense of whether or not they'll follow through or whether they're a scam.
And also, just in general, always if your computer remembers your contact information, make sure that it's correct. Because I was actually putting something, so I bought a few things with the wrong zip code, and they went to a very strange place, and then I had to retrieve them. So always good to make sure that all that information is up to date. And this concept of giving your debit card a holiday break, here at the radio station, our auditor says we as staff can't even use the debit cards. We just can only use the credit cards for purposes of safety. So let's talk a little bit about why debit cards are more risky.
Sure. So a debit card gives direct access to your bank account. So especially talking earlier about phishing emails, if you maybe fall for a scam and you unknowingly give a scammer your username and password, and you've been storing like a debit card as a way to pay for things, they can do all sorts of damage with that.
They can
Basically draining the
drain
funds that
your
are
account,
there.
yeah.
Yeah. Whereas with a credit card, there's certain layers of protection, fraud protection. If you see a purchase that you don't, that you want to contest that you don't believe was yours. Like if for some reason your credit card was compromised, you can contact the credit card company, contest the charge. In many cases, they can reverse it and they can investigate to see what happened, issue you a new credit card so that you're up and running, with no risk to your direct, account finances.
Super information. And you say in this tip here in the newsletter that maybe a PayPal or a credit card would be better. Is Venmo also another, that's another option for payment?
Yeah, just something that now I don't know with Venmo if you can still put like your bank account behind it. So that's still dangerous in my opinion.
Got it.
But if you're using a credit card behind Venmo, then I would say yeah, there's no problem there.
Got it. And also this concept of keeping your devices up to date. I mean, it's interesting because that a lot of those updates, which can be kind of annoying and take a long time that you might put off, are bringing in security measures for your device.
Yeah, it's definitely important to stay up to date with your software. A lot of those updates include security fixes. Just today, actually, I sent out an announcement to our subscribers because there's a new zero-day vulnerability affecting Google Chrome. So very important that, yeah, you install those updates as they're available. And to alleviate some of the issues with, having to wait, to the extent that you can set things to automatically update, then it kind of happens behind the scenes, and oftentimes we'll do it when you're not actively using your device. So that's an easy way to stay on top of that.
I find it interesting that there, a lot of the sites that you might go to and you want to keep track of what you're doing with a certain vendor, they want you to sign in and create an account with them. But one of the recommendations in the newsletter is to, rather than using any autosaves, try to not make sure you don't opt in for your credit card information to be stored on the site because they could get hacked. But this concept of just checking out as a guest instead to avoid storing personal payment information.
Yeah, especially with some of those smaller retailers where you may only use them one or a couple times and then not do anything until the next season. No reason to have them keep your personal information. The other part of that too is, if you don't necessarily go through the privacy practices, they could, take that and share your information with other vendors, which then opens up to, just receiving more emails, ads, trying to get you to sign up for other services. So yeah, doing those one-time payments and not registering for an account, just one less thing to worry about too, for future.
Right. If you are compromised and you have to go in and like kind of track down all the places that you might have used something. So complicated passwords. I am a guilty of this a little bit because I just find it to be such a pain. But I have started using the cryptic ones that they provide, saying like, would you like to use this one? Because they're complicated. I have some new ones, but I do need to clean up my password act. You want to address that quickly?
Yeah, so as we say, never use the same password for multiple sites or with multiple vendors, because if for some reason someone does get your credentials for something, that limits them to what they have access to. Password managers certainly have made this easier because, even if you do these single transaction without creating accounts, there's plenty of things that you already have to manage. You have your email, you have all your utilities, essentially everything that's managed online these days. So password managers can really help as a secure way to not only create passwords, but also to give you access to them when you need them from a central place. So if you don't want to use a password manager, then yeah, using those long passphrases. So instead of like password 123, create some sort of sentence like, I'm going holiday shopping in 2022 exclamation or something. That's a nice long password that you can probably remember, but it will be difficult for someone to break into.
Right. And I've heard of this, people getting stuff stolen off their front porches where if they're getting their stuff delivered to their house. And I know sometimes when you are in a place like West Marin where we all have post office boxes, some retailers won't ship to a post office box.
Yeah, that's difficult. I know a lot of people now have installed home security systems, so even if you can't be there, that's maybe another way you can monitor things like Ring, where you can have a feed to monitor what's going on at your front porch. But yeah, if to the extent that you can have something delivered to a more secure location, or just ensuring, like if you can schedule a time delivery so that you do it in a time when you know you're home and can receive it right straight away, that's another way maybe to overcome those porch pirates.
Porch pirates. I like it. And then obviously monitoring your financial accounts, just going through your statements pretty carefully to make sure there aren't charges that you didn't authorize, can keep you out of trouble because sometimes some of these things can be ongoing if you don't keep an eye on it.
Yeah, and that's something you can do year round, but is especially important now when people are, maybe buying more than they normally would, and also maybe higher ticket items than they normally would too. This is a time where we not only treat our friends and family members, but sometimes we treat ourselves too. Getting those new devices and toys and things that we wouldn't normally get throughout the rest of the year.
Credit card companies, most of them are pretty good about seeing something that's really unusual on your account, and they might. Do you think they like let up a little bit around the holidays, or are they just as strict?
No, I think they're just as strict, but it's always good to take matters in your own hands and do your own monitoring in addition to what they provide.
So, if somebody wants to sign up to get this very informative newsletter, Jason Baldrama, who is the Chief Information Security Officer at the County of Marin, how would they do it?
It's very simple. If you visit our website, marincounty.org/cyber, that takes you to our homepage, and there's an enrollment button for Marin CyberSafe News right there.
That is awesome and amazing. Well, thank you for taking the time out to join me today on Cyber Monday to hand out these important tips to our listeners. Hopefully, folks who are taking advantage of online shopping will have a few more protections under their belt at this point in time.
Thank you for having me, and be safe this holiday
All
season.
right. Thank you so much, Jason.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. And coming up next, I'm going to touch back in with Anita Renzati from the Department of Health and Human Services from Marin. She is a senior program coordinator, and I spoke to her a couple of weeks back about Overdose Prevention Summit that was happening, and we're going to get some updates from her. And I want to welcome Anita back to the KWMR airwaves so soon.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be back, and I hope everyone had a great holiday.
Yeah, me too. It was pretty mellow. I think a lot of people were doing kind of maybe slightly different things, a little on the smaller side. So you held this overdose prevention summit, and I know that it was in person and it was had the ability to fill up. How did it go?
Yeah, it was really excellent. We had an unbelievably successful event, and I heard from a number of people, not just our survey, but in person when we were there, that they're relieved in the fact that this happened and that they were able to participate fully in looking at the next year and what our goals should be and how we should approach them for reducing overdoses in Marin County.
And as you mentioned, Anita, that sometimes when you get a bunch of people together, there's some newer ideas or something comes to the surface that you didn't know about or a new idea. Was there anything like that that jumped out at you after the summit?
Well, definitely that we need to expand our partnerships. I think that was one of the lessons that we learned because we had a number of folks from different departments that we haven't worked with closely in the past, and we were able to sign them up to be part of the action groups. Say the action team for justice systems, as one example, has now greatly expanded its membership and includes the people in the jail reentry programs and probation and folks from, many different sectors, not just law enforcement. I think that was critical. And then I guess that note when they talked about the goals in the racial health, equity, and it included like we have not had services, for example, we have not focused upon people with disabilities. So folks that were there from Marin Center for Independent Living were able to say, hey, how about this and how about that? So as they join the action teams and we all roll up our sleeves, we'll be able to take the goals that they prioritize, bring them back, and then get their help in actually implementing them, because that's the critical piece.
Yeah, it sounds like having all hands on deck is going to be really important. But I just want to touch on and remind the listeners that overdose deaths in Marin County have gone up quite a bit. Isn't that right, Anita?
Yes, they've about doubled since 2018 when fentanyl came on the scene. And it looks like at this point they're continuing to go up this year. So we're expecting another jump. It's a very urgent time. And this is definitely a crisis that requires people from all different, you know, in communities to come together and solve it.
So what are some of the major goals coming out of this summit?
Yeah, so an example of these, and we're going to meet with the action teams, but some examples of this were for the youth action team, they're putting together a resource guide because students wanted this and they asked for it. So we were able to cobble together funding from ourselves, you know, our own OD Free Marin, but also more importantly, behavioral health and some of our partners so that they'll be able to do a living document, one that is able to help youth that are struggling know all of the resources that are available to them and that they have a hard copy handy, as well as we'll be constantly updating it so that it's fresh and that it's a living document. So I think, and it's all student led. This is amazing. It's really exciting to see the youth say it's not just about substances. It's about mental health, especially mental health after COVID. And it's about suicide prevention. So we are pulling together with these groups and our youth action team has, you know, a robust list of different things that they want to accomplish in 2023. Also with education and outreach to have Narcan available, the opioid reversal drug available after all of our educational events, all of our Speakers Bureau events. And of course we had it on site. We were kind of training people quickly, but at the same time, you know, we were able to talk to them about their situations of why they might need Narcan on hand and to encourage people who might just be bystanders, like a sister of mine who was just walking by the park recently and was able to use Narcan to reverse an overdose. So everyone should be carrying it at this point is our perspective. And we were able to give out many kits of Narcan at this Outlook, you know, this event. And we'll be featured at the farmers market. Our farmers market table will be right next to the information table at the Sunday farmers market on December 4th, which is in near the Civic Center in San Rafael. So that huge farmers market. And we've been doing that for a year, but we're going to expand all of those efforts with the help of all of these people that came forward and volunteered.
I mean, yeah, and I mean, just hearing anecdotally, your sister, my colleague, who was able to use Narcan on a person outside of a concert in San Francisco after just picking it up at the health fair before going to the concert. I mean, it's not. I mean, it's definitely, yes, you know, saving lives is critical. But then there's more to it than just giving people Narcan when they've taken an opioid. It's getting people into treatment programs, providing those other wraparound services so that they can get clean.
Exactly. And that is a huge part of what OD Free Marin focuses on through the intervention, treatment, and recovery action team. They are doing follow-up on anyone that had a non-fatal overdose, which is the biggest risk factor for fatally overdosing is having this previous near fatal overdose. So they go back with resources, they, you know, help the people to access medication assisted treatment so that they have all of the current technology, in a sense, all the tools that they need to be able to get off of whatever drugs they're on. And I mean, I do talk to people on the phone that are using fentanyl knowingly, and that's just a really terrifying place for them to be in, and they want to get off of it. So we hook them together with the behavioral health, the 24/7 information and assessment line. And we work closely with colleagues like Kat Condon in that department to ensure that people get all of the help that they can.
So I'm just thinking about this in terms of sort of like with the new suicide hotline number, is there sort of a quick number or a place where somebody who say is, dependent on substances can reach out and get immediate assistance?
Yes, unfortunately, it's not as simple as that 988, which is a national number that gets adopted for tracking, by the states, for example. But we do have a behavioral health line in Marin County, and I can give that, and you could also hopefully put it on your your
Oh,
website if
yeah,
that's
for sure.
possible. Oh, good. Okay. So actually, the best way to go is just go to Marin, BHRS. Behavioral Health and Recovery Services.org. So it's Marin, BHRS.org. And, or you can just contact us, go to our website, which is odfreemarin.org. And they have an option there. You can contact the access team. You can call the number, which is 888-818-1115. That's 888-818-1115. Or they also have, you can request a call. They have many different ways to get some help so that you would get a sort of a telehealth appointment, and then they'll talk to you about an assessment and support and, what's available to you. So I strongly encourage people. I've had to call it myself for when people call me, and OD free is not necessarily, this is the office here. We don't directly serve clients with treatment need. We find a way to get them, quickly to behavioral health. So I've called that number myself and asked for advice on how to do a warm handoff and make sure that nobody falls through the cracks.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, with mental health and so many other things and contagious diseases and things, there's always this sort of level of shame. And it's really about talking about it, getting the information out there so that nobody is ashamed if they're having a problem.
Yeah, exactly. It's so much more prevalent than people think because the stigma tends to hide the fact that people have substance use issues. And some people, for example, one of my sisters is in an open recovery program where initially she was able to get off of drugs and alcohol using the special tools, through AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. And then at this point, she's in other programs where people have open recovery, which is really good because it reduces the stigma when you know that your friend, the flight attendant, is doing great and you know that she used to be 10 years ago, used to not be,
Yeah.
doing well, but that she's in recovery. So Faye Zenoff is actually the woman in charge of the open recovery program out of San Francisco. And I've had her as a guest speaker before because I think that that's another thing that we should think about is just, say, I've been in recovery for 7 years or 30 years or whatever it happens to be, 6 months, because then it helps people to, it reduces some of the shame. And we see that our neighbors, our family, our friends, it could happen to anyone.
Yeah, we're humans.
Yes, we're humans. And this has been an extremely tough few years for people. So this is
Yeah.
especially a good time to make, to mention that we're fighting stigma every day.
Well, Anita, I so appreciate you coming back so soon with all of this, very good, heartwarming information from the success of the Overdose Prevention Summit. And I invite you to return to the airwaves whenever you have more information to share.
Oh, thank you so much. It's our pleasure, and I hope to see a number of you at the Sunday Farmers Market on December 4th. We've got Narcan for you and a little training to go with it.
All right, super. Take care and have a good week.
You too.
All right,
Bye-bye.
bye-bye. That was Anita Renzetti, who was Senior Program Coordinator with the Marin County Department of Health and Human Services. And earlier, I was speaking to Jason Balderrama, Chief Information Security Officer from the County of Marin. Epicenter is a series dedicated to community and public affairs in West Marin. If you have ideas for topics, email programming@kwmr.org. You can stream the audio archives of Epicenter shows on our homepage, kwmr.org. Thanks so much for listening.